We're in a series we're calling Walking with God, Walking with the Eternal God, and discovering some of the names of God, Yahweh, in this famous psalm. And so let's read together this psalm again from, we'll read the whole of the psalm. And I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. And as I go through it, we'll just highlight some of the names that we've highlighted so far in the first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is our pastor. I have everything I need. The Lord is my provider. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. The Lord is my peace, Yahweh, Shalom. He renews my strength. He restores my soul. He refreshes my life, other versions say. And we talked last week about the fact that the Lord is our physician. He is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord, our healer. He guides me along right paths. The Lord is our righteous pathfinder. He is Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And as we stay in step with Him, and as we heard just now, as we put our hand in His hand and walk with Him, He leads us in paths that are right, and we live fruitful and effective, adventurous and confident lives as we stay in step with His Word, His Spirit, His people, and those He's given us in the body of Christ to lead us. So those are the things that we talked about previously, and I'm just going to read the rest of the psalm. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house or the household of the Lord forever. And I want to focus in this morning on that little phrase at the end of verse 3, where it says, He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. And so the title of my message this morning is this: Living for the Honor of His Name. And it describes the Lord as not only our pastor, our provider, our pathfinder, our peace, our physician, but this describes the Lord as our purifier. He's my purifier. He is Yahweh Kadesh. I think that's coming up on the screen somewhere. That He is the Lord who, and that name means He's the Lord who sanctifies us. He's the Lord who sanctifies us. Doing well, Jax, catching up there. The Lord, my purifier. And so what we've been looking at is something of the names of God through this psalm, and looking at the compound names of Yahweh out of this psalm and then referring them to from other scriptures. And that name, the Lord who sanctifies us, appears in the book of Leviticus. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to read through the book of Leviticus. It's often called heavy levy because it's sometimes a bit like wading through a telephone directory. There's all sorts of strange things that are happening in Leviticus, you know. Lots of sacrifices that we're not that familiar with in our day. And but what the book of Leviticus highlights, here's a few tips to help you through the book of Leviticus. When you're trying to wade through all those different sacrifices that the Lord says He requires of Israel, remember that as you look forward, that Jesus paid one sacrifice for all, so that we no longer have to go through all those other sacrifices. There's one that's been done. Secondly, remember this. There's all that death, all that sacrifice, because God takes sin very seriously. And thirdly, and most importantly, remember this, that the book of Leviticus is about setting people apart to be with him. God is looking for a people to be holy. And so this verse that I'm going to read to you now, out of Leviticus 27 and 8, which describes this name of God, is such a tonic, a help to get through Leviticus. And it is actually one of the main verses in Leviticus that highlights the fact that God helps us to be holy, and without his help we cannot be holy. This is what the Lord said: "So set yourselves apart to be holy, for I, the Lord, Yahweh, am your God. Keep all my laws and obey them, for I am Yahweh who makes you holy." It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Way before Jesus came, way before the Holy Spirit was poured out, Yahweh says to Israel, the only way that you will become holy is actually by allowing me to do that work in you. And he has not changed. That's true of us today. Holiness, like happiness on that sign, is an inside job. God works from the inside out. Yeah? We cannot become more holy just in our own efforts, trying to do certain things in our own strength. God comes to do a revolution, a work from the inside out. Now, the reputation, any shepherd worth his salt who looks after sheep will tell you that the reputation and the livelihood and renown of a shepherd is dependent on the health and the condition and the responsiveness of the sheep. Yeah? A shepherd leads sheep into green pastures. But in order for sheep to be healthy and get nice and fat and be strong and in good condition, they have to want to be led in those green pastures. And when the shepherd says it's time to move on, these pastures are actually getting near to overgrazed. They can't stay in their comfort zone. They have to move on with the shepherd if they're going to remain healthy. And ultimately, the renown and the reputation of that shepherd depends on the responsiveness and the condition of the sheep. And that's the thought that David is bringing up in Psalm 23, that he leads me along the right paths for his name's sake, for his renown, for his reputation, for his glory. There's a wonderful passage in Ezekiel 36, verses 16 to 28, which I just want to read to you now. If you have your Bible, just open it up with me. It's going to come up on the screen. And it describes this reality that God, in his goodness and grace, is working with his people for the ultimate aim of making his name great in the nations. And so let's just read it together. Ezekiel 36, 16 to 28 says, "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore I poured out my fury on them, for the blood that they had shed on the land, and for their idols with which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of him, 'These are the people of the Lord,' and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, 'Thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify, make holy my great name, which you have profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed, honored in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you. Beautiful verses. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, that you will keep my judgments and do them. It's a wonderful passage, which I've just taken the time to read there, which describes actually God's plan in all that he does, in everything that he is working with, that we read in Scripture from Genesis right through, is that his glory would go out into all nations. The purpose of actually choosing Israel was that they would be a light to the nations, that they would come into relationship with Yahweh, that they would walk hand in hand with Yahweh, that they would get to know Yahweh, that they would get to know his ways, his word, his nature, and that they would be changed. But sadly, as the prophet Ezekiel describes here, time and time again, they drifted from Yahweh. And they were scattered. They went into exile amongst the nations. But the Lord, Yahweh, was committed to his covenant. He was committed to Israel. He was committed to his people. And he said, I will bring you back to that land. And he said, into the future, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And he was prophesying both for Israel, and he was prophesying actually for the world, that a Savior would come, a righteous one would come, that as we respond to him who comes from Yahweh, he will give us a new heart and a new spirit, and we'll be changed from the inside out. And God's committed to changing individuals right across the nations. We've got the privilege, Lynn and I and Roy, of going to Poland this week. We're doing ministry in two churches in Swidnik and Krakow. We haven't been to Poland before, but God's opened up a door for us to go and minister in some churches there with the partnerships that we have with the wider team that we relate to. And one of the exciting things about being a Christian is that we can be involved in this master plan of God, that his glory wants to go out to every man, woman, and child on planet Earth, to the nations. And he's committed to that. He's committed that everyone would hear his name. But here's the thing. God is honored through us, through his people. As God is honored through us, his people, others see more clearly who he is. Peter describes in the New Testament that something of our identity, that when we come to Christ, when we receive his Holy Spirit, we are a royal priesthood. Yeah? There's no longer one tribe that's just holy to the Lord, a holy priesthood, as it was in the Old Testament, the Levites. But we now, his saints, his people, his children, who can walk hand in hand with him, we're royalty. Do you believe that? I know I might not look like royalty, but yeah, and you might not look like royalty either to the person next to you. But that is your identity. I am a child of God. I'm part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I once was not part of that people, but now by the mercy of God, I'm part of his people. Yeah? That's something to be happy about this morning, friends. We've been rescued, as we sang this morning. But we've not just been rescued out of, but we've been brought into. What you get saved into is far more important than what you get saved out of. Yeah? You're part of a royal family. Turn to the person next to you and say, in Christ you are royalty. Now, we may struggle with that sometimes because we know ourselves. But that is how God sees you. That's how Yahweh sees you in Christ. If you're not in Christ this morning, then there's a wonderful invitation that we available to you today to step into his family and become part of his royal family. But with royalty comes responsibility. I remember a number of years ago when Harry went off and did some of his exploits in America. I think he painted the town red one night and did some things he shouldn't have done. And it was all over the newspapers, of course, the next morning. And the Buckingham Palace wasn't pleased that the Windsor name was tarnished. And the name of our king is dependent on the conduct of his royal subjects and his royal children. You know, in olden times, I don't know if you remember the movie Braveheart, but so you remember the scene where the two armies are lined up together in battle. And in ancient times, the army would have some kind of banner or flag or insignia, colors that would be their logo or be their standard. Thank you. And when people saw that standard, when people saw those colors, when people saw that insignia, they would recognize behind that is a prince, a regent, a name, a king. It's a bit like, you know, when you see today the guys in Leith walking around with a green and white scarf. That's the sign of the club that they support. They represent. I'm a Hibs supporter. Or you go a bit further across the city and you see the purple and the... And is it just purple or purple and white? Maroon. Thank you. Okay, I'm being corrected. Maroon. Hey, what's your heart? And in fact, one of our congregation, one of the young lads is actually playing for the Hearts, young youth team. But you recognize the name of the club by the colors you see. And in the same way, we either honor the name or dishonor the name by the color of our lives that we portray to the world. So how do we live for the honor of his name? And this is what I want to just give some practicals this morning out of God's word. How do we live for the honor of his name? Firstly, by the way we address, I'm going up and down here, by the way we address and relate to him. Jesus said that actually, as children of God, he gave us a son's prayer. Often people call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's a child of God's prayer. How do we know that? Because it begin. He said, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father. It's a son's prayer. It's a daughter's prayer. It's a disciple's prayer. It's a saint's prayer. And so he said, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. He said, actually, that sets the tone for your quiet time tomorrow morning with Jesus. Begin with that orientation. Don't begin, it's not like a parrot fashion prayer. No, begin with a heart that says, God is my dad, is my Abba, who I can put my hand in his hand, but he fills the heavens. And I'm going to humble myself. Because his name is to be hallowed. Yeah? You see, he's God the Almighty, not God the Almighty. And we need to keep a balance between living in awe of Yahweh and walking with him as our dad. Because he's both. But you'll only appreciate the wonder of walking with him as Abba if you keep clear in your hearts that he is the Almighty. Amen. He's not your boyfriend. or the man upstairs, or our heavenly grandfather, or Father Christmas, kind of just dishing gifts. He's not Mr. Fix-It. He's not my servant, just dishing out things at will as I want them. He's God. And it's my privilege every morning to sit down with him and to worship him. And sometimes to get on my knees and humble myself and acknowledge again, God, you are awesome. So the way we worship. Secondly, how we live for the honor of his name by the way we submit and obey his word. Psalm 138 and verse 2 says, your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. We know that this word is true because of who he is. And when we show that we honor his name by responding to the fact that this is the word of God. This is the commander's word. We had a great time yesterday here with the men in the morning. A fantastic time. We spoke about honor and commitment. We spoke about being a kingdom marine. And I read the code of a U.S. Marine. And we talked about commitment. And this is from the Marine Code about commitment. This is the spirit of determination and dedication within members of a force of arms that leads to professionalism and mastery of the art of war. It promotes the highest order of discipline for unit and self, and is the ingredient that instills dedication to king and country 24 hours a day, concern for others, and an unrelenting determination to achieve a standard of excellence in every endeavor. Commitment is the value that establishes the Marine as the warrior and citizen others strive to emulate. Friends, at the end of the day, everything that we are as children of God, everything begins with commitment. We have somebody who is totally committed to us. And he's given us his word, yeah? And the word is not, the words are not suggestions, but they are commands that to guide us for our highest good and for his namesake, for his glory. And so when we get alone with God, a heart that just says, God, yeah, I want to submit to your word, Lord. I want to take your word on board and I want to live it out. Every area. Not picking and choosing what our preferences are, but taking the whole menu and saying, God, yeah, help me to live this out. Every area in my life. Thirdly, we honor God by walking the talk 24/7, by living lives of integrity through our words. Our yes being yes. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Everything else is of the evil one. And the reality is, friends, when our talk and our walk don't line up, the enemy has a field day. And the name of God is dishonored in the marketplace. Because people look at those who say they are believers, and they look at their walk, and they look at their talk, and they look at their walk. They don't match up. And the name of God is scorned. And Jesus says to us today, fix the problem. That's what he says. Don't go and pray about it. Fix the problem. Take my word, align it to your life, yield to the Holy Spirit, and live out this incredible life. 24/7. Live it out. Let's live it out in practical ways. It's a very practical message this today. Let's live it out in our punctuality. Let's be on time. Not just on Sundays, Well, that's good too. Let's honor God by being on time together, being on time in appointments in the coffee shop. Let's honor God. Let's honor others by being on time. Let's honor. Let's create a culture of honor. What about when somebody's called you, and a friend maybe, or a family member, and they're not well, or there's a serious problem in the family, and you say, I'll pray for you. And then you get back into your work and so on and so forth, and then before you know it, you know, three days later, you're still waiting to pray for them. And I think that's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? Happened to me this week with my brother-in-law, who had an accident in Australia. And it's a pretty serious accident. And thankfully, he's got a wonderful support base around him, a church there. But I've said to my sister, I'll be praying for Chris. And we can so easily let those things slide. But walk the talk. Following through on our promises with our children. Oh, with our wives, husbands, brothers and sisters in the family of God, following through on our promises. See, we serve somebody who's a covenant-keeping God. And let's work out our word as a lifestyle in what we do. Keep to what we say. See, when we do that, we honor him who is always consistent. Fourthly, we honor God's name by challenging it when it's misused. In the workplace or in the marketplace. You know what? It's said that people or evil prospers where good people do nothing. And sadly, friends, that in the culture in the UK, most of the time when you hear the Lord's name, it's not in fame, it's in vain. It's being misused. How do we respond to that? Well, I used to be in the same boat. So it's good to respond in a way that is redeeming for people. Because generally when people use the Lord's name in vain, it's through ignorance. It's a learnt habit, often at home. And it's because no one's actually pointed out to them there's anything wrong with it. There's been no sense of restraint, yeah? It says in the book of Romans that all manner of sin happens in our culture because there is no fear of God. There's no respect for God in people's eyes. And so who has to lift up the banner? Who has to lift up the name? Who has to raise the standard? We do. How do we do it? By being courageous. By stepping forward. By being gentle and respectful to the person and getting alongside them. And so many of you have heard the story. Before I got saved, I was a teenager. My brother, who was about 7 or 8 years older than I am, he got saved about a year earlier. He was back home. He'd been away for a season at university. And I was in the kitchen one day, and I just said, God. And I'm not particularly aware that I said it that often, but I said it, and about a minute or so later, my brother comes through to the kitchen, and he confronts me on it and says, well, actually, Malk, that name has become very precious to me, and I'd prefer that you didn't use that name in that way when I'm around. And that was in 1975, 76. And as far as I can remember, that was the last time I used God's name like that. I wasn't a Christian myself at that stage. But it was a gentle but a clear rebuke from a brother. Yeah, he was my big brother. But it was done gently, but it was done clearly. And time and time again in the workplace, I've had the opportunity of just sharing the gospel with people out of saying to them, having built a bridge of friendship with them, hey, that name is very precious to me. Can I tell you why? And out of that conversation, two things have happened. One, they've heard the gospel, Jesus, who he is. Two, why he's precious to me. And three, there's a respect, not only for me, but for the name that comes in. So at least it's not used in vain when I'm around. I remember at Waitrose, when I worked at Waitrose for 5 years, I was just getting changed in the locker room to go into the canteen at lunchtime. And I was just about on my way out the door. And one of the other chaps, a lovely guy who I worked with, his name was Tarika. I think we'd just been chatting a bit, that's right. And I'm just generally about kind of stuff, religion or whatever. I'm just going out the door. And he just says, "Oh, Jesus was just another prophet." Now, I'm hungry and I'm going to the canteen for lunch. And I've only got a finite time. But I have a choice in that moment. Am I going to turn back and talk to him, or am I going to go for my lunch? And that thing is too big an issue. Jesus is not just a prophet. So I turned back and said to him, "Actually, Tarika, you know, Jesus is much more than that. You obviously haven't read what he said about himself. If you believe he was a prophet, then you believe that what he said about himself is true. That's what prophets are. And if what he said about himself is true, then he is God, Son of God, the only Savior of the world, and the King of Kings." And I said one or two other things. Bye, I'm off for lunch. And of course, the conversation would pick up. You know, that's the way it is at work. You know, you get these snippets. But you've got to take the gap. Because if you don't take the gap, those lies of the enemy, those things that are false, just continue to dominate and run rampant in our culture. And the result of that is, I mean, have you ever heard anybody taking Muhammad's name in vain, or Buddha's name in vain, or Krishna's name in vain? I haven't. I know they say, "Oh, Buddha." Why is that? And yet they use Jesus Christ and God interchangeably. Which is good news for us. Because even intuitively, every human being has got written into their code, they recognize something about Jesus Christ and God go together. He is God. Hello. It's a great opportunity. Yeah. Somebody swears in the canteen, somebody swears in your vicinity, and you know him, you've got a good relationship with him, built a bridge with them. You can say, you know, say the Lord's name in vain, and you say, "Oh, I see you know him too. He's a good person to call upon in a time like this. He can help you in trouble. He can help you in pain. He's done that for me many times." Yeah, we make it light, but we come in with truth. We open the door to connect with people. Friends, his name is at stake in your office, in your workplace, in your university, in your school. Train your children. We've heard some great God stories of children who've stood up in their classroom when the teacher says, "And nobody believes in creation anymore," and they've actually stood up. The only one in the class. We know of children who've done that. Stood up in the class, 30-odd children, said, "Miss, I believe that God is the creator. And I believe that evolution is actually a myth." And of course, it goes down like a lead balloon. But what's happening at that moment? That child is just unfurling a banner. Colors clear. This is who I am. I am more than just my mum and dad's child. I'm a child of God. Oh, I'm going to have to bring this into land, because we have communion here this morning, which Danny is going to share with us. So, I'm halfway through these points, so I will finish off with this one, number five. We not only honor God with our worship by swiftly submitting and obeying his word, by walking the talk and by challenging the misuse of his name in the marketplace, but also through our finances. Now, I didn't mean to finish on this one. I had another three. And the next one is a big one in terms of relationships, which I would have liked to have actually unpacked today, in terms of honor in the family, honor in our marriages, honor in our parenting with the children, that there'd be honor in the family. It's a massive thing, this, friends, honor. It's a huge thing. If we're going to see life and fruitfulness and strength in our families, in our culture, and see broken families restored. And your marriage is an incredible testimony to the honor of who God is. It's an incredible thing. It's a God thing. I'm jumping to number six. But let me finish on this one for today. How we use our finances as believers has a huge bearing on whether the fame of God's name goes into the nations or not. Remember, everything that God does is for the fame of his name in the nations. Everything. Everything exists for his glory. Everything is established by his power. And everything is for the honor of his name. That's why he created us. We're created to represent him. And so our resources, it's not just our finances, our resources, our time, our talents, our energy are all God-given. Yeah? The oxygen you breathe this morning, credit Yahweh. Credit Yahweh. If you're married here this morning, you have a husband or a wife, credit Yahweh. If you're blessed with children, credit Yahweh. It's all from him. And he has a pattern in his word when it comes to resources that he gives to us, that he wants his people to give back to him so that the fame of his name can be extended into the nations of the world. It's an incredible privilege that we can use our resources to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ out into the nations of the world. So let me read three scriptures. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. The New Living Translation. Have I got it? It's 8:18 actually, Jack, so don't worry about that. I'll just read it. It's not 18:8, it's 8:18. This is what it says. Deuteronomy 8:18. Always remember. Okay, turn to the person next to you and say, always. When God says, always remember, what does he mean?
Always remember.
Always. Very good. Always remember that it is Yahweh, the Lord your God, who gives you the power or the ability to create wealth, to become rich. He's saying, always remember that. And he does it, this is why he does it, to fulfill the covenant he made with your ancestors. What was the covenant God made with the ancestors of Israel, that he made with Abraham? It's in Genesis chapter 12. He said, I'm going to bless you and make you and your name great, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And he was talking about generations to come through Abraham's line, Abraham's seed, which would ultimately be Jesus. Through Jesus, all nations would be blessed. So what is he saying here? Always remember that you have been given the power, the ability, the talents as an engineer, a teacher, a nurse, a care worker, whatever gifting God has given you, always remember that you've been given that talent, that gifting, that ability to create wealth, primarily to fulfill his covenant. And his covenant is this, that the fame of his name, the gospel, would go out into all nations. Aren't you glad God said that? I'm so glad I didn't say it. Yeah. See, I'm accountable for what God says to me. And you're accountable for what God says to you. You're a royal subject. Oh, we like all the blessings, but we're actually accountable to do something with the blessings. Because he's Yahweh. He's not just Mr. Fix-It. Proverbs, let's just pick out another scripture. There are many scriptures. Proverbs 3, 7 to 10. I shared this with the men yesterday. Do not be wise in your own eyes. This is the word of God again, book of Proverbs. Do not be wise in your own eyes, the NLT says. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Revere the Lord, honor the Lord, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So there's some fringe benefits there. There's lots of fringe benefits when we honor God. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the last dregs. No? With the remains. With the month at the end of your money. No, no. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now the culture in that day, of course, was agriculture. It was farming and there was grape, there was orchards and vineyards. So he's speaking into that culture of Israel. He's saying, if you honor me with the first fruits of all your increase, you won't lack. I'm Yahweh. You honor me, I'll honor you. You walk with me, and you're going to see incredible provision. You'll lack nothing. But here's the question. If we hadn't put that bit on the end, would we still do it? Because he's saying, this is the way you honor me. How? Because when we bring our resources, our first fruits, our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse of the local church where we fed, when we do that, something's opened up in the heavenlies and the resources are given, the gospel goes out to neighbors and nations. We're not to be led by the left or the right or this or that. Will we honor God in his word with our finances? And then a final scripture on this, and then I'm going to hand over to Danny. Revelation 5, verses 11 and 12. Then I looked. This is now heaven. Yeah, this is worship around the throne. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousand of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And we can just keep it at that, Jax, that's fine. Worthy is the Lamb. You see, he is worthy to receive honor. He is worthy to receive strength. He is worthy to receive power and wisdom. And he's worthy to receive our riches, friends. It's worship is worth-ship. And so each week when we take up our tithes and our offerings, it's part of our worth-ship. You are worthy. We're giving our resources to God. You know, the reason why You know, I've had the privilege of traveling in many parts of the world, in little villages in Africa, you know, right off the map, you know, dust places, little kind of shanty towns, way in the rural parts of Africa. I've had the privilege of being there, sharing the gospel with people and being part of churches there and seeing people saved in those locations. And you know the amazing thing, wherever I've been, travel thousands of miles, in sometimes on long journeys, there's been one name that I've come across time and time again. And it's in a bottle, and it's called Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola has got everywhere in our world. I mean, literally, any place you go that I've... in Africa, and it's the old glass ones, the old glass bottles, Coca-Cola. How has that happened? It's because the name's got out there, because it's been underwritten financially by a company, and they've done a lot of advertising. Friends, we have a much higher name to get out to the nations. The only name that will save people, the only name that will change people's lives for eternity, the only name that is the name that's higher than any other name, where Coca-Cola doesn't even come on the map. It's not even off the... it's under the carpet, not even on the carpet, in God's economy. Will we live for the honor of His name in our worship, in the way that we respond and obey His word, by walking the talk, in our punctuality, in our behavior, in our promises, being a committed people, in challenging those who use the Lord's name incorrectly in a gracious and yet a clear way, and in our finances, in our relationships, in the way that we respond to authority, and in our witness for Jesus. Danny, just before you come forward, I want to just finish off by reading this out, and because I'm stirred by this morning. I'm stirred by this week. When people look at my life, are the colors clear? Are the colors clear? Is there a clear evidence in what I am doing, the way I'm behaving, how I'm sharing, the quality of my work? Is it reflecting the honor and the excellence of my King? I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My presence makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, and smooth knees. Colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, miserly giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right. What a relief. First, top, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence. I lean by faith. I love by patience. I lift by prayer, and I labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, diluted or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up or burn up, till I've preached up, prayed up, paid up, and stored up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops. And when he comes to get his own, he'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Wow. Are you prepared to say yes to Yahweh again this morning? And say, Yahweh. Your way, Yahweh. Not my way. Let's pray. See, friends, ultimately, we are naked before him. He knows us. But the great good news of God is that he fills us with his power. Divine power. So that we can accomplish everything related to life and godliness. But there's a response required, because he's given us precious promises, it says, so that we may become partakers of divine nature. What you do with God's word determines how much of the divine nature is exhibited through your life to the world. Doesn't affect your salvation if you're a child of God. That's secure. But it affects whether the honor and the clarity of the color of the name of Jesus will be seen through your life. And all that you think, all that you give your eyes to, all that you give your mind to, your walk to, your money to, your resources to, your time to, the people that you share your life with. It affects all of that, and it will affect the people, not just in Edinburgh, but in other nations, who ultimately stand before the throne because they heard the gospel and because you were a strong link in the chain. If you're wanting to respond to the king this morning, and he is a king, he's our father who's saying, let me take you by the hand afresh, my son, my daughter. Just want to ask you, if you want to respond to him, just stand where you are. And we're just going to say yes to Yahweh. Yes to you, Lord. Father, we want to just repent of our mediocrity. We want to repent, Lord, of where we've become comfortable, where we've treated you sometimes a bit like a genie, where we do the Aladdin's lamp thing and expect you just to conjure things up for us. God, forgive us. We want to be your children, radiating your life and your glory through our lives, that people would see the mercy of our God, surely goodness and mercy following our lives, because we are following you, seeing the compassion of our King, the greatness of our Savior, the goodness of our Father. Yeah, Lord, your embrace and your love, that we can sit upon your lap because of the incredible price that Jesus paid and the incredible power of the Holy Spirit that you've put into our hearts and lives. Father, thank you for your blessings, and we want to be a conduit of your life to many in Edinburgh, to many in the region, and to many in other nations. Let your kingdom come today, Lord. Let your kingdom come today in our hearts and our lives, that our walk may line up with our talk, that we would not be hypocrites, but we would be genuine. We would be real, real sons, real daughters, led by the Holy Spirit and leading others into this glorious, intimate, and wonderful life with you. In Jesus' name, we say yes, Lord. We commit ourselves to you afresh, Lord. And Lord, may we be those who are keeping our promises. Help us by your Spirit, Lord. Thank you that you don't condemn, but you quicken, you awaken, you enlarge, so that we can better serve you, glorify you, and give ourselves for you. Thank you for that, Lord. Take us further, God. May we be a sacrificial people, and may we see a multiplication through us of your life and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.